Praise the Lord. Let's give it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. It's a pleasure for me to be here. I'm humbled by the words of our pastor, Claude. Thank you so much for your kind words. I've been blessed by God, and I don't think he blesses us for us to be selfish and keep it all to ourselves. So I'm honored to help whoever I'm able to help, especially if it's for the kingdom of God. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord, a really loud hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you so much for this invitation, Pastor Claude, for allowing me to preach. I usually do not preach in English. I usually preach in Spanish, and then I have an interpreter. So I apologize, and I hope that you're able to understand what I'm about to talk to you about. Anyway, there's so much going on in our world today. I don't think I had to explain to you all the impact that this pandemic has had in each of our lives. I don't know if you've been impacted by this pandemic at all or not, but due to the impact of this pandemic, hundreds of businesses have been drastically affected worldwide. There's various businesses that at one point in their careers, they were thriving. They had a good economy. They had good business going for them. But then they were forced to close while other businesses made drastic adjustments. That's my topic today, and that's why I'm kind of telling you a little background of this. This is just a thought that the Lord put in my heart. But there's so many drastic changes that needed to be made for those that are still running. For those that, even though there's so much going on, so much adversity, they say, no, we're going to make a change because we want to stay afloat. We want to be successful. We're not going to give up. That's the mentality of many of these CEOs that they had to face, many business owners, many people, including yourselves. You had to make a choice. Am I going to keep on working? Am I going to find a way of making a living? Am I going to find something to do so I can continue to supply for my family? It has been a drastic adjustment. And this title says, Adjust or Fail to See. And I'm going to relate this a little bit to a story that I found in the book of Acts. But before, I want to say that there's some companies that are in the same category. And I begin to wonder, why is it that some of these companies are still open while other companies are now shut down? That's what I ask myself. What did this company that is still being successful, besides no matter the adversity that is against them, what made this company different than this other company that is failing or that is already closed down and they throw the towel? And beyond that, I want to ask, how about the churches? Because we can look at churches the same way as a business. But it's not a business to get rich. It's a business for us to get prepared for our eternal destination. How about these churches? What type of adjustment have they made in order to able to either adjust or fail to see what God is going to do? Hallelujah. How about the saints? about you, every single individual in this place, or whoever might be watching, from wherever you're watching, at whatever time you're watching, what kind of adjustments have you made to ensure that you are going to make it to heaven? What type of adjustments have you had to face and make in order to secure your spot in heaven? Our spot in heaven, we must fight for it. If you want to get there, you must keep enduring. You must keep on walking. You cannot give up. You cannot just call it quits and say, oh, I made it. I was baptized. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I did everything I could, but, you know, this pandemic hit, so I can no longer come to church. This pandemic hit, so I had given up. You know, we cannot go. We had to wear masks and all of this. I'm afraid. Or whatever situation is, what type of adjustments would you make to ensure that your destiny is still the same, that you're reaching that goal that you set your mind to get to? What type of adjustments will we make, or will we fail to see the glory of God? Or will we fail to see what God wants to do in our lives? That is what I want to focus on today. I warn you from now, from the beginning, I'm not a long-winded preacher. So this is going to be a short message, but I hope that regardless that it's short, that you will open your heart and let God speak to you. And before I go on any farther, I want to pray. I want to pray for God to give us understanding and to speak to us whatever it is that he wants to tell us. Lord Jesus, it's a pleasure for me to serve you. It's a pleasure for me to be here speaking to your people, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for every soul that is here and for every soul that is hearing, for every soul that is watching in a later time. I speak that same anointing, oh Lord, that I feel here, that they might feel, oh Lord, in their heart, that this word, oh Lord, that you have designed to do something in their hearts, that you will go and do it, oh Lord. I pray that you will soften every heart, that it will be good ground, that this word, oh Lord, will come in their hearts and it will do something, oh Lord, for those that need it, oh Lord, for those that need to be reminded where you got us from. For those of us that need a reminder, oh God, of what you have done for us, help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us to hear and help us to obey, to be doers of the word, not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to be talking in the book of Acts. Chapter 9, verse 10. We're going to be reading from there. There's so many stories that I can pick from, but this is the one that the Lord put in my heart. So this is the one that I'm going to relate to you guys. So Acts 9, verse 10 says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. I want to pause there. Pastor Claude has been talking about hearing the word of God and about us saying, here I am, making ourselves available. So that is awesome. That is perfect. That's a good start for us to have that attitude that we want to serve God on whatever it is that he needs. If we say I am, just keep in mind, when you say I am, the Lord is going to take you seriously. When you come to this altar and you have repented like I once did, and I say, Lord, if my life is worth anything to you, use it. If you say that and you mean it, if you say that with your heart, it doesn't matter what kind of skills you have. It doesn't matter where you come from. The Lord is going to use you. The Lord is going to use your past. He's going to use your failures. He's going to use everything that you have been equipped with all your life. He is going to use it when you mean it. If you say, I am here, Lord, remember that. He will remind you of that. Hallelujah. He will. He will, and that's a very awesome attitude to have. That's a crucial point. I have always say, I cannot help anybody if they are not to that point. If they are not to the point to say, to humble themselves to the point to saying, here I am. There's nothing, no one can do anything for you, because you must humble yourself. You must lower yourself down and say, I'm here, oh Lord. I couldn't make it on my own. I couldn't do it on my own. But if I'm worth anything to you, change my life, oh Lord. If you get me out of this mess, oh God, and you want to use me, and if he has pleased you to use the weak vessels, I know you can, because you've done it in the entire Bible. It's full of weak men that humble themselves and say, here I am. So here we find Ananias, a man of God, that say, here I am. He said, here, I'm ready for whatever it is that you have for me to do. I'm here, oh God, send me. I'm ready. Sounds like a very spiritual man, a man that is ready to serve God. I'm ready. Send me, oh Lord. If you had that sincerity in your heart, he will use you eventually. If you remain submitted and humble, it might not happen overnight. You must prove yourself to your leadership that you're faithful. And if they don't put you up in the altar right away, don't get discouraged. God is testing you to see what you have, what you're made out of. If you mean it, God will use you at the right time. Anyway, so we find here Ananias, that he sounds like he's ready. But now we read in verse 11. And the Lord say unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he pray. Okay, so we're going to read that he knew who this Saul was. He knew who this guy was, and he didn't have a good reputation. He didn't have a good reputation at all. But I want to point out something before I move there. Isn't God so great? Isn't he's so amazing that he orchestrates everything to take a mature Christian and help you out when you're struggling, when you're lost? Someone that can take your hand and guide you. Someone that can take you out of the lies of the world, that can help you navigate to the truth. He orchestrates a divine encounter. One individual that had that experience, that had the sincerity and said, here I am. And now another individual, that's journey is about to begin. Saul is also at that point. What must I do? I don't know if you know that story, but he's blind at this point. He had an encounter with Jesus and he's blind. And he's given instruction to wait, to just wait. And the Lord is telling Ananias to go to this man. And he says clearly here, for Saul is praying. He says, here, behold, he pray. When you get to that point, the Lord is going to hear your prayers. Those sincere prayers that say, God, I want to serve you. What must I do? When you get to that point, what must I do? The Lord is going to send someone to help you. And here he sent. Ananias is sent to the rescue. Ananias is sent on a mission. Hallelujah. So we also know that Saul thought that he was doing the will of God. Saul sincerely thought that he was serving God by putting Christians in jail. By persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing the right thing. And I know that there's people just like him out there in the world that are waiting for an Ananias to make up his mind and to hear, to be sensible enough to go when the Lord says, go. This guy over there is desperate and he's praying. But because we're here playing games, because we're not serious with God, we don't hear his voice. Because we're not sensitive, we have missed so many divine appointments. And I'm putting myself in those shoes. we have missed the opportunities because we are playing games. We must get serious. We must get serious. Hallelujah. I know that there's many souls out there. The Lord is so merciful. He is ready to use us. Even if we have failed in the past, He doesn't care. He forgives us. We ask for forgiveness, He will forgive us. Saul sincerely thought he was doing the will of God. God took away Saul's vision. Like I said, he was blind. He had to take away his natural vision in order for him to come to truth. If he had his sight, he would never come to truth. And I want to believe that God is blinding some individuals right now. Right now, He's blinding some individuals. Whatever they are doing is not working out for them. They have hit a dead end in their careers. They have hit a dead end now with this pandemic. They have hit a block on their walk, and now they are blinded. They are blinded, and they're looking for the Ananias to come along. They are waiting for the Ananias. They are praying. They are desperate. They are crying out to God. God, send someone to help me. I want to know you. I want to know you, God. Send someone. I want to know you. Are you real? Are you out there? That is their cry. And the Lord is ready to send the Ananias to the rescue. Hallelujah. God is so merciful that even some of those that are not diligently seeking Him, He's merciful to even those. The Bible says that He pulls. Jesus draws them, right? He draws them to God. He draws, right? Unless we're drawn, we cannot come to God. Even those sinners, even those people just like you and I, He is drawing those. He is drawing those. In Saul's case, he thought he was doing the will of God. There's some people that are not even trying. They're not even trying. That God, you're going to get shocked. You're going to be shocked. Because God's going to pull some people that you had no idea. He's going to pull some people that you thought they had no hope. He's going to pull some people that you send them to hell. In other words, you send them to hell because you thought they had no one could reach them. They were unreachable. They're all out of your reach. You're going to be surprised. You're going to get shocked because I've been shocked myself. Hallelujah. Maybe some, not by choice, like I said, maybe are not seeking God by choice, but they had tried, and this was my case. They had tried everything else and nothing has worked. So they're just desperate. They're willing to try anything. They're willing to try anything. So we just need to say, hey, why don't you try Jesus? Why don't you try? Why don't you call on Jesus? Nothing else has worked for you. Call on Jesus. I am ready for giving Jesus a try. That's what He is waiting for those words. I don't care how you get there. I don't care how those out there get this decision. The important thing is that they eventually make it there, that they get to that point where they are fully repentant, and then God is able to reach them at that point. But I hope that you're willing to make the adjustment to see that truth. So I begin saying we're talking all about adjustment, adjusting. We must adjust to see the will of God. Pastor Claude said something about revival. There's a big revival coming. It's been prophesied. It has been told by so many preachers. It's been told by the prophets. Even told by so many things, so many proofs, so many things that we have. It's coming. It's coming. Whether you believe it or not, it's coming. And we must be ready. We must get ready. We must be ready. We must be committed. We must make some adjustments. If we make mistakes, we must adjust, correct our mistakes, and get back to repenting and saying, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to make that adjustment. What is that I need to do? Does anybody here want to make an adjustment? Does anybody here want to remain God's will? If you want to remain in His will, You just have to adjust, repent. Allow me, oh God, I fail so many times. But that's okay, that's okay. He's not here to judge anybody. He's here to use you. He's here to forgive you. He's here to perfect you for the will that he has for you. And it's crazy that many of us need to be blinded before we ever see. That's so true. We must be blinded. Unfortunately, some of us need to hit rock bottom. That's so sad, but that's the reality. Many of us needed to hit rock bottom. Be blinded, in other words, to be able to find Jesus, or we will be still in the world. So if something, things didn't go well for me, well, sometimes that's the best thing that can happen to us. When things don't go well with us, oh, God, but I cannot find a job. I had tried searching everywhere, and I was out of a job for years. But I bet you if I would have found a job, I would set my eyes on the riches of the world, and I would miss heaven. If the Bible says that it is impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, so I don't know why so many people are so focused only on money for themselves. It will be impossible for them to enter into the kingdom of God. So why would you want to put yourself in that situation? But you know why? Because that's the mentality of the world. More money, you're better off. More money equals happiness. More money, you have it all figured out. More money, you don't need God. And that's the problem. But like I said, God needs to make us blind many times. We must lose our control many times in order to find this place of desperation where we had nothing else to turn over to but to God. And that's sad, but that's the reality. God took away Saul's natural vision so he could have a makeover. There was no other way. There was no other way for things to happen. Otherwise, he would be recorded differently in the Bible. He needed to be blinded, and that's the end of it. Verse 12, now we see. In verse 12, he says, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So here we have, now we see this is what he saw in a vision. He's already seen on a vision that someone is coming to help him, right? Someone is coming to put a hand on this man that already made his mind to follow Jesus, to make things right, to make an adjustment that he might receive his sight. But he's not going to receive that same sight. He's never going to see the same. You're never going to see the same when you encounter Jesus. Your vision is going to be better. If your vision was not right, it's going to be a 2020 spiritual vision where you're going to see, hey, my vision is to get to heaven. My vision is not for riches. My vision is not to acquire a bunch of goods. My vision is to make it there. My vision is to get as many people to make it there. My plan is not the same as before. I got a new vision. I got a better vision. I got a much better vision for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of these men how much evil he have done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And this is where many of us get discouraged, because we come across people that to us they have no hope. To us they are a lost cause. To us they are crazy. To us they are not reachable. So we get discouraged and we start doubting God. We start doubting God's power. We forget that God has everything under control. We really do. I have heard that how evil this man is, how he put many in prison, how he persecuted a church. I have heard all about it. And in verse 14, we see, and here he have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So pretty much he had the power to put any of them in prison. Have you ever come across anyone like that? That can put you in jail Do you ever come across someone that can put you in jail because you witnessed to them? Is that a no or a yes? Are we glad that we're free to witness to anybody and they cannot put us in jail? So Ananias here was initially judgmental and he doubted God's plan. Ananias, really, he really had good reasons to be worried. If anybody had good reasons to be worried, it would be Ananias, because he was going against this Saul at the time, later Paul, that he could actually get him into trouble, throw him in prison, maybe beat them up with the power that he had, you know? So he had good reasons to be afraid. But he forgot that God was in control. He forgot that it was God who sent him. Who sent him? It was God. God sent him. Let me remind you, Ananias, you said, "Here I am." This was the same Ananias that has said before, "Here I am." And here you go once again. The Lord is reminding Ananias, "Hey, remember what you say, 'Here I am'? Well, I'm telling you to go. Even though you are doubting and afraid, you say, 'Here I am,' right? So if you say, 'Here I am,' get ready. Because the Lord is going to send you, and he's going to send you to do things that maybe you're not comfortable doing. Maybe he's going to send you to places that you think that you're so afraid. But we're never going to be, well, I hope we're never going to be on this, but we might, in the shoes where we're persecuted. At least we're not being persecuted at this point, right? We're free to witness to people, and they're not going to kill us for doing so. So Ananias had a perspective. He had to adjust his perspective, right? Because he was limiting God. He had to adjust in order to see the glory of God. He needed to adjust in order to see God work. He needed to allow God to do his work. Adjust or fail to see the glory of God. That's pretty much what it is. Or you adjust and you obey. As you say, "I am here. I am ready. Send me." You just go. You just go. Adjust. Just obey. Adjust. And you're going to see the glory of God. And this is exactly what we see here. Hallelujah. So he adjusts. And are the people that we're trying to witness persecuting us? Or are they going to throw us in jail? I already said that. No, they are not. But many of the excuses that we sometimes we put on our minds, we start saying, "Oh, but I don't speak French. I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak the language. And I can only talk about myself. I am afraid." Or someone saying no. So we're not afraid of being killed like Ananias. We're afraid of someone. Our ego is afraid. Right? That's what it is. Our ego is afraid. I'm afraid that I'm rejected. In comparison to Ananias, in reality, we are like stuck on something so tiny. The worst that they can say is no. The worst that they can say is no. So, oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Many times we say, but they are alcoholics. They are druggies. They are evildoers. And they have no hope. And we begin to limit God. We begin to limit God as if he had limits. He has no limits. He can do what he wants to do. He has all power. But we start to limit God and the ability of him to do anything. And that's why we must adjust our thinking. We must adjust ourselves and not allow our ego to hurt. Not allow our ego of being rejected determine our unwillingness to obey. We cannot allow that. We doubt God's plan. We set limits on God. we put boundaries on God and he has no boundaries. And so many times we are so judgmental that we think that it's our job to decide who gets into heaven and who doesn't. And that's what we do. We must adjust, or we will fail to see the glory of God. We must adjust. We must adjust, or we will miss to see our divine appointments. Don't you want to just have these views of God? Like you said, here I am in your life. I don't think you will be here if you didn't want to do God's will. I don't think you will be here if you didn't want to be used by God. But we must really, all of us, we must adjust. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was blinded. He was blinded. And the Lord saw to the future. This guy that persecuted the church, this guy that nobody, all Christians at the time hated, this guy that was despised by the Christian world and was unreachable, all of a sudden, he is a worthy vessel. He is a vessel, a chosen vessel. If we could only see what the Lord, how the Lord sees people, he will change us. There's no one that is too far gone. There's no one that is unreachable. The Lord really wants to do something great. The Lord really wants to bring revival. Regardless of all the pandemic and everything that's going on, all the fear, regardless of all that, even using social media, it doesn't matter. The Lord wants to reach someone. And I can testify about that. I have a cousin that if it wasn't because of this situation of the pandemic, he would probably never have the time to even have a Bible study. So I began to have a Bible study with my cousin, which, by the way, he is all the way in South America, in Colombia. So we began having a Bible study. And he didn't really have the revelation of who Jesus is. He did go to a church, but different belief, false doctrine. But the Lord is so awesome that he allowed this Bible study, and we began to study the Word of God. And you know that the Word of God is powerful. You know that the Word of God goes to the deepest part of our being. It goes all the way where a spirit, a soul, and a body divide. And it goes, and it's a discerning of our thoughts and everything that is in our heart. And he began to just pound in him. And we began to talk about the oneness of God. We began to talk about the baptism in the name of Jesus. And it's in the works. It's in the work. God is doing something. If you're just willing to give that time. If you're sensible to just wait on God and take that opportunity. If I wasn't sensible to it, I would have never even done a Bible study. I'm so glad. That's the one aspect of the pandemic that I'm so glad that I got to do a Bible study with my family member. Now I recommended a pastor to come visit him. A pastor in Colombia came to his house just this Thursday, last week. And my cousin is so pumped. He's so into it. He's sold out. Every time we were having a Bible study, I would ask him, how many? So who is Jesus? And they will know, like, how many gods are there? And then they're like, well, there's one God. I showed them all the verses in the Bible. We went to the Bibles. And then we went through all the baptism. And how were they baptized? In the name of Jesus. In the full immersion. And what was the evidence when they came out of the water? What was the evidence that they were filled with the Holy Ghost? That they spoke in other tongues. So they are 100% convinced. And my cousin say, you know what? help me find a pastor because I tried listening to my pastor and he makes no sense. Now I'm watching Voces Unidas at 1 p.m. because once you see that truth, you are not just going to keep on eating that garbage that the world gives you. Once you see that truth, it is written right here. The Word of God says this. They are not going to just take any false doctrine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see here that his adjustment led him to true repentance. And this is the adjustment on Saul's part. He also had a choice and he had a will. But he wanted to know the true God. And it is that repentance that led him to water baptism. He recovered his sight and he was baptized in the name of Jesus and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Simultaneously, Ananias adjusted to see the glory of God. So these are happening in parallel. It was orchestrated by God. That's true. But both of them needed to be obedient and adjust, right? Be obedient and then go do it. And Ananias needed to go do it. And Saul needed to be willing to do it, right? Willing to be baptized and be obedient. So we see here that, do you imagine you being the one that converted Saul? How proud you would be? He became an apostle. And just like that, there's so many people out there that might get to places that you would never dream of. Because the Lord is the one that appoints who gets there and who doesn't. Our job is just to share the gospel of God. Share the gospel of Jesus. So he must have been like, with no doubt, he is proud of receiving this victory for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You and I need to adjust. We have no time to waste. Would you adjust and see the glory of God? Would you adjust and see the glory of God today? Are you willing to adjust? Will you adjust and allow God to use you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to read a couple scriptures. I'm pretty much done. But I want to read some scriptures to remind us, to bring some reminders to our minds. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 6:11. Because sometimes we forget where the Lord took us from. We can never forget that. The Bible says on 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. And this is talking, given the prior verses, I'm not going to read it. It's talking about like they were just all that you, sins that you can list, drunkards, idolaters, all these sins. Some were some of you, and that's including everyone here. I'm including myself here. We came from out there, somewhere, wherever that is. But we're no longer over there, right? So he says here, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Had you been baptized in the name of Jesus, all your sins were remitted. Hallelujah. And his promise is that we must repent. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's the two things that we're able to do on our own, right? But then we're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's only God can do that. And he can see our heart. And then he can fill you with the Holy Ghost when you're fully repentant. He will wash you. He'll fill you. He'll give you the power to never go back. That's why he says, such were some of you. Where? Past. Not going there. Never going back there. I now been sanctified for a purpose. Pastor Klaus said, I am willing to do anything. Yes, I'm willing to do anything for the kingdom of God. If he's going to glorify God, hey, I'm down for it. If I had the time to do it, I will do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there's so many opportunities for all of us. I know we are a small church, but if you want to get involved, just talk to Pastor Claude. There's plenty of opportunities to serve in the kingdom of God. There's so much need, so much shortage of laborers, but that God can help you if you want to do it. If you want to dedicate your time, I'm telling you by experience, you will never regret serving God. You will never regret it because He pays better than any employee you can ever work for. He's going to bless you. He's going to keep you. He's going to take care of you. And He will do it. He will do it if you want to. Hallelujah. Don't let what's going on around us prevent you from adjusting to see the glory of God. Don't let any of those things, all the turmoil, all this pandemic, don't let Facebook keep you from seeing the glory of God. Hallelujah. I shut down my Facebook. And if you need to, maybe you should shut down yours too. Like, we need to keep our eyes up there. Like, you'll be surprised what people are putting. Hey, don't focus on what people are putting. Even people that call themselves Christians, focus on God. Hey, He saved me. I'm going to remain safe. And I'm going to remain positive. Doing that is not going to help me. But anyway, I just removed Facebook also ever so I don't have to see. Oh, no, my brothers. Really, my brothers are putting that? Just that's easier. Too many have grown cold, and this is also like gets me sad to see on Facebook and all that. Too many need a reminder that this is not our church. We shouldn't be like the world. We're called out of the world, and we're no longer back there. So now, if we read Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the enemy has tried, and will continue to try to shut down the church. Hey, good luck, buddy. You ain't gonna do it. You ain't gonna do it. You ain't gonna do it with your pandemic. You ain't gonna do it with anything that you try to do. The church is continuing to move strong. Even though we don't have a full congregation, hey, who cares? The Lord is moving on ways that we cannot even see. He's moving through the internet. He's reaching people all across the continent, all across South America. Hey, He's reaching people. He's doing something. He's doing something. Hallelujah. We just got to align, and we're willing to do it. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 8:27, and this is... King Solomon. This is his words when he edified the temple. And then he said, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built?" We must remember how great God is. He is so great. He is so great, He don't even fit here. He don't even fit in the whole universe. So why do we keep boxing it up and putting limits on it? We shouldn't. So let's not. Let's remember He cannot even fit here. So He can reach anyone. He can reach anyone. Let's not put limits. If the Lord says, go do it, go reach, talk to this person, go do it. The worst they can say is no, and you did your job. You were obedient, and you aligned yourself. The other person was not willing to align. It takes two. It takes two to tango. There's a saying. Well, you just do your part. Hallelujah. Luke 21:28. And I'm closing with that one. If you can please stand to your feet. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draw near. When you see all these big signs of war, when you see all these things happening, hey, look up. Hallelujah. If you don't know what to do, look up. Woo! If you don't know what to do, just look up. Look up. The Lord is great. He is mighty, and He has it under control. So let's align. Let's align to the will of God. Let's adjust or fail to see the glory of God. May God bless you. And the altar is open. I gotta go. I cannot do altar call, but I'm going to let Pastor Claude do it. I'm going to go play, but please, if you feel led, please come and align yourself to the will of God. Align yourself so you can be used in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you can see his glory.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Raphael. Thank you.
God bless you, Brother Raphael. Wow. That's the word of God. That is the word of God. Adjust or fail to see even what you want to see. Adjust or fail to discover what he want to show you. Remember he said, I will show you wonderful things that you did not know about. So if you adjust, he will show you that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Raphael. Thank you for yielding yourself to the Lord. You see, I told you, if you say, here I am, he will use you. This man is being used by the Lord. The altar is open for whosoever want to pray, recommit himself and say, I am still here, Lord, even though I refuse to go once, twice, or more than twice. Lord, I'm still here. I'm recommitting. I want to go. I'm not back enough. Hallelujah. The altar is open, and he is ready to hear your recommitment.